It's Thursday, May 26th, 2016, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes fun stuff. You're listening to episode 147, Hostile Corporate Takeover. Runtime for this episode is 52 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that has a whole theme park dedicated to itself. My name is Jeremy.
My roller coasters end in death traps. I'm Tyler.
We have a theme park? Yeah. Why did no one tell me we had a theme park?
Because you're afraid of heights.
It's last time on roller coasters.
I am not afraid of heights. I'm afraid of rocks falling on me from a great height. And I'm afraid of the sudden stop at the end of a great height. My name is Zach.
You're afraid of potential energy?
Once again, I've been lied to and promises broken. There are no giant dinosaurs.
No, this game came out after Super Mario World, and there's no Yoshi. That is a crime. Also, who are you?
Cody.
Also, who are you, person who showed up at the table?
It's random amazing. Person.
Well, we're all the Sele monoliths until we say our names.
You've managed to actually get me to say my name like three weeks in a row.
So later today, we will be talking about the second Mario Game Boy outing, Super Mario Land 2. I guess technically it's like the fifth if you count like pinball and stuff, but we don't. So,
What was that one?
Alleyway was what I was actually thinking of. But before that, we have to get through all the stuff we've been playing. And again, we'll start with Cody because he's boring and has a life. Cody, what have you been playing?
Kirby's Dream Land 2.
Ooh, that's an okay game.
It's on our list somewhere.
It's got hamsters in it.
And fish and an owl.
Wait, actually, isn't that the one that you titled Useless Hamster Dreams?
Yes, it is. Indeed. Because the hamster sucks.
Hamster dreams.
The owl is good. I like the owl. The fish shoots light bulbs, and that's cool.
It's useful for fun and secrets.
That's actually one of my favorite Kirby games. It falls a little under Superstar.
Kirby's Dream Land 3 is also pretty good.
Yeah, I've never played that one. Probably also under Return to Dreamland. Return to Dreamland is just this weird fever dream I played with Tyler one day.
That's right, because we've powered through that entire game.
Every Kirby game I've powered through with you, but
they're typically fairly short.
Yeah, Return to Dreamland is actually like fairly long. It's like a 6-hour game. I'm kind of surprised we did that in one sitting, but
we also did like Super Mario on the Wii in one sitting with trying to murder us the entire time.
I was not trying half the time. I was succeeding most of the time.
That is true.
No, you were always trying. Sometimes they were successful and sometimes they weren't.
I remember once when Tyler just wasn't paying any attention whatsoever as I picked him up, walked him across like half the screen and threw him off a cliff.
So your episodely reminder to watch Lupin the Third and Lucha Underground. The finale of Lupin the Third, Leonardo da Vinci turns to Lupin and says, "You can't steal her personality." And Lupin goes, "Bitch, I can steal anything."
That's a comeback.
Because Lupin is great. Yeah, anything else? Have you been playing the terrible Lupin the Third Game Boy game?
No, I have not.
It's a puzzle game. It makes no sense. It doesn't even have Zenigata.
Nope. I've been watching Psycho Pass 2, though. That's on Hulu.
I heard good things about Psycho Pass. It's an anime. That's all I know about it.
Okay.
Very 1984-esque. If 1984 and Blade Runner had some weird android baby, that'd basically be Psycho Pass.
Speaking of, everyone here has seen Paranoia Agent, right?
Yeah.
No.
Although not in its entirety. I'm actually thinking about rewatching FLCL, or Fooly Cooly, I guess, since we're talking. Since Adult Swim ordered 2 new seasons of it, like they did with Big O, and it's all on Hulu.
I'm sorry, what?
Adult Swim is like, hey, Studio Genox, we want 2 more seasons of Fooly Cooly. Here's some money.
I'm sorry, what? It's like a decade old.
So is Big O. Big O season 2 was great, but Tomatoes.
The original Big O wasn't that great to begin with either.
Yeah. I mean, Fooly Cooly was at least weird.
Yeah, I feel like I might understand the weird sexual tension in Fooly Cooly now. Probably not, but...
You know, a fun one is 7 Deadly Sins off Netflix. It's an anime called 7 Deadly Sins, and it's only available on Netflix.
Is it about a bunch of pirates?
No.
Oh. Well.
It's a weird magical knight thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, actually, yeah, no, I remember this. You were telling me about this one day.
Magic Emotica is also on Netflix if you want to see something cute and then be depressed.
That is on my watch list, but I keep looking at it going,
but you're watching Digimon Season 2.
I kind of stopped.
Okay.
The reason I haven't been is because that one is only subbed. Magic Emotica.
Oh, okay.
It's really good. You should watch it.
I know, but don't I keep hearing about how depressing it is.
Yeah, it is to Sailor Moon what Watchmen is to 70s Superman.
Yeah, don't watch the series. Just watch 3 movies. Save yourself some time.
Yeah, actually, the movies do a pretty good job summarizing everything you need to know. So, although that depends on how much time you want to kill watching it. So,
well, this isn't Mighty Morphin Anime Danger. So, Tyler, what have you been playing?
That's a good question. So, a while ago, I suspect it was on sale. Zach got me Dirt 3. Is it Dirt 3? And I played like a race of it, and I like figured out all the mechanics and won my first match. And I didn't kind of play it for a while, and then I played some more of it. It is a fun game. So, it's a little known fact on the podcast because I almost never talk about it, but I actually really like racing games and I almost never play them because usually there's something else occupying my attention.
I didn't realize it. I got in it because it was like a $5 thing on a Steam sale and was like, maybe one day I can convince him to play this game and maybe get a race out of it, but I don't think he's ever actually going to even install it.
So if you look at my Steam history, you'll notice that I have 250 hours in Burnout Paradise.
Well, the thing is, Burnout Paradise is different from like games like Dirt or Need for Speed Shift, because Burnout Paradise is so arcadey, there's not really any kind of...
They have time trials in it, though, and those are the parts I like the best, and that's basically what Dirt is, especially with, like, the... By the way, the driver in the car is actually the Prince of Persia, so, yeah. Every race, I don't know that we've ever talked about Dirt.
I've mentioned it, but I don't think I've ever gone into the mechanics.
Oh, yeah, you did. There was an episode we did, because I remember editing it.
Moral of the story is it's a pretty technical racing game, but its thing is that you get a couple, like, limited period do-overs every race. This one has five of them, so every race you have five...
It's actually based on difficulty. Is it? Okay. The harder it is, the less you get. The very first Dirt on the 360 is hard as hell to do Pike's Peak, because you don't get awesome. Any do-overs, and it's like a seven-minute track.
Wow. Jeez. That's brutal. The one I had trouble mastering is like a 30-second track. I was going to say, each of the do-overs is like, I think, a 5-second time period you can rewind.
It's a bit longer than 5 seconds, but I could be wrong.
But usually that's enough to correct your steering around a corner or let off the gas earlier or something to that effect and make it so that you don't run off the road or slam into a tree. So it's a pretty fun game. I'm probably going to play a lot more of it, but it's probably going to be one of those things where like, I do a race like... once a night, maybe once a week. So it's probably going to take me a long time to get through it, but it's a fun game.
Have you done any of the tricks challenges yet?
I have not. I've only done races.
Gymkhana event. That's what they're called.
So there was the Friends of Nintendo Humble Bundle a while ago, and I picked up a bunch of games. One of them was Shantae, the Pirate's Curse.
We need to play the first Shantae for this podcast before too long. Go on.
Oh, that is true. I didn't actually play it. I actually specifically did that so that I could then reveal that I had not, in fact, played it. I have, however, played Retro City Rumble. City Rampage?
I think it's Rampage. What do you think of that?
Not much, because I only played about 30 seconds. But, oh. Okay, I'm exaggerating slightly. But I think I might like it. I'm not sure yet.
That's the one that's like... imagining what GTA would be like if it was on the NES.
Yeah, although it was modern GTA on the NES, because technically the GTA was already on like the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was on the Super Nintendo, but it was in that era.
Yeah.
The first Grand Theft Auto was on the original PlayStation.
Added the next 6 video games to the Video Game Hall of Fame, and one of them was GTA 3.
Yeah.
Which is well-deserved.
Yeah, I actually now remember this. GameFAQs actually had a poll of the day on it, and it's like, which of these games do you think is most deserving, and unanimously Legend of Zelda?
I actually see GTA 3 might be more important, but...
I don't think GTA 3 would have existed.
That said, Sonic the Hedgehog beating Pokemon Red and Green to get on there is some...
It's not a good game. I don't think I have anything else particularly interesting to report. I've been trying to play more Payday, but I insist on trying to do Death Wish missions by myself because no one wants to play Death Wish. Honestly, I can't blame them. Although I actually subscribed to the Payday subreddit recently. The number of people on there who are like infamous 25 and currently level 100 and only ever played Death Wish is just ridiculous.
That's because Reddit is for 12-year-olds and 12-year-olds don't know what time is.
That is true. I mean, remember all that time we spent playing D&D in high school?
Remember Phantasy Star Online?
Oh, yeah. God, that game was awesome.
It's a fun game. It's so much... I don't know how Phantasy Star became Phantasy Star Online. Like,
well, maybe Phantasy Star 2 is good. I mean, if you look at any of the first 5 Final Fantasies, you can't figure out how they got to 6.
I mean, I could kind of see...
Or 7, rather. 6 you can figure out. Like, 6 to 7 makes sense. 5 to 7 is, like, going to the moon.
That is true. But, like, 4 or 5 to 6 kind of makes sense. So yeah. That is true. So I guess there are a number of games that could have transitioned to a slightly better game over time. Although now that I'm thinking about it, Phantasy Star Online is actually a lot like Xenoblade. Feels very similar.
Yeah, from what I've heard, it sounds... That's always what I think of when you guys talk about Xenoblade.
I need to play more of that.
I need to play any of that. I feel like I basically got through the tutorial. And
I'm at the part where I can actually do all the quests to get my mech and haven't been playing it.
Yeah, well, Ed's dumped a ton of time into that game. I don't know that he's finished it. Ed is kind of a game of the week type of guy, so nothing holds his attention super... I can't tell if that's facetious, actually.
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay.
Anything else?
Nothing worth noting. I've actually had a really busy last, like, 3 weeks, so... Yeah, the fact that I played any games at all is honestly kind of surprising. All right. Other Zach.
So, I've been playing a lot of League of Legends, obviously. I'm not sure what happened, but this week I've had a particularly rough go of my matchmaking. For some reason, I double-checked my things on Loking, which is a site you can use to like see what everybody's rank was in the game. I have been consistently the lowest-ranked player in my games. So like I'm going up against people who are in gold, which I can match golds pretty easily. But I'm also going up against platinums and diamonds.
Good job.
And I'm like,
how's that working out for
you? What are
you
people doing in my game? And no wonder I keep getting my butt handed to me. When I'm the guy who has the jungler who has no idea what he's doing and gets executed on a second camp, and you guys are like a well-oiled machine of players who are already higher rank than me.
So
it's incredibly frustrating to deal with that kind of a thing. So I've been having a little bit of difficulty getting up and into League for the last couple of days. So on Sunday, I actually got back into a game I hadn't played in quite a while, and that was StarCraft II Wings of Liberty. I was replaying through the campaign of that.
It's a good campaign.
It is a very good campaign. And I really like the way they did it, because in that one, they have like persistent upgrades. You know how a lot of RTSs?
Yeah.
They have the campaign where you have to upgrade everything again. But like in this one, Marines... You can actually upgrade the stim packs in their combat shield, which is a StarCraft II upgrade, because I realized Tyler has never played this game. but you just upgrade that in your base, and every time you build a Marine, they come with stim packs and the shield's already equipped.
That's nice.
Yeah, it basically has a World of Warcraft-style talent tree that you get points in as you play through the game. And you can have things like Goliath's going to use their anti-air and anti-ground attacks at the same time. Or, I can't remember what it is.
And Goliaths exist in this game. Siege tanks can get reduced damage to allied units and greater damage to the central target and splash targets. Up to damage on their banshees and all other kind of fun stuff.
They also don't let the multiplayer constrain the campaign in that game, which is cool.
So you can get all these things. Like, one of the units that you can get in the campaign is the Diamondback, which is a specific kind of tank that was initially going to be one of the Terran units in multiplayer. But they decided against it, but you can still get it in the campaign.
Oh, same with all cool. The units from StarCraft 1 that got cut are still in the campaign.
The Diamondbacks are a fun concept, but even on the level they're on, if you've already done the level that gives you siege tanks, the answer is siege tanks, because you're Terran, therefore siege tanks?
The answer is always siege tanks. Sometimes it's Marines and Medics, but usually it's siege
Marines,
tanks.
Marines, Marauders, and Medics if you're on a mobile force. Or, as I have done in the past, hordes of Vikings.
Yeah, Vikings are fine.
I beat a guy with 3 fleets of Vikings in multiplayer at one point. He had a big Deathball Protoss, and I'm like, I have Vikings.
Vikings are the transforming ones,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
So I'd like fly this fleet of Vikings in, drop them all, and shoot a couple of things on his base, pull his Deathball over to that side, lift them all off, and fly them away. But I didn't play any multiplayer. It was purely single player. It's a good campaign. I mean, it does kind of nuke Kerrigan down a little bit. For what she was initially.
The story of StarCraft 2 isn't very good, and the secret is the story of StarCraft was never good. It just came out in a time where stories didn't exist in video games.
But, like, it's fun. It plays well. All the levels feel different. Like, there's a level where you have to mine a certain number of minerals, but while you're doing that, every, like, 3-5 minutes, lava comes up and will kill anything caught on the lower ground, where is the only place you can... be to mine these minerals.
So you actually have to pay attention to your SCVs.
And pull them off there as the lava is getting ready to come up. So it makes it really interesting. They've got all those different things thrown in, changes things up on you, makes you think a bit about it. So, I mean, it's a great game. I mean, if you haven't played it, I talked about it like 2 years ago when I was actually writing stuff on the site. There's a review of it on there. It's still good. Legacy of the Void has come out. I haven't played it. I kind of want to play it, but I'm already spending money on other stuff, so I'm not going to right now.
Jeremy mentioned this last time we recorded, and I didn't even know that Legacy... Like, I've never even heard of this.
It's the... Like, how they did the StarCraft 2 is Wings of Liberty is the Terran campaign in the base game. Heart of the Swarm is the...
Zerg
campaign and the first expansion, and then Legacy of the Void is the second expansion and the Protoss campaign.
It came out on the same day as Fallout 4 and Tomb Raider 2.
Okay,
and everyone
well.
Was like, well, at least people are talking about how no one's talking about Tomb Raider 2 and being sad about it. No one even seems to know that Legacy of the Void is still coming out, let alone that it released.
Like, I found out a couple of months later that it had been released. I think you, Jeremy and I were talking about it. Like, we were talking about, I'm like, I wonder when they're going to release it. And Jeremy goes, they released it already. Huh?
But Ozymandias up in here.
In the second game that I've been playing in order to blow off some steam for League of Legends is actually kind of related to a... probably the most infamous series.
The
infamous?
No.
No, of any game, I don't think it's the most infamous.
It is one of the most infamous series.
Okay.
In
with
gaming.
That
Yandere Simulator?
Yes.
No. I said series, not game.
It's not a series yet. Just wait.
DOA Beach Volleyball.
No.
Yeah.
We have talked about the series.
Yeah, we have a game from the series on our list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you weren't going to mention it, I was going to force you to reveal your shames.
My give up.
It's not a... I'm perfectly okay with it. I've been playing Mortal Kombat 9.
Oh. Sorry. Oh, is 9 the one... Is the 9 is not the most recent one, right?
It's no, the one it's the one that. Before the most recent one.
I didn't care for that game.
The first game we played wasn't very good. We will all admit that. Mortal Kombat 1 was terrible. Mortal Kombat... It's just called Mortal Kombat.
Yes, I know.
I'm
going to
keep calling it Mortal
terrible.
Kombat 9 so that people can get a benefit of it. Mortal Kombat 9 takes a lot of the things that people liked about the first game and expands on them and gives you enough options to play with as a player that you have more things to do in combination with other stuff on your character. So you feel like you're doing a lot more. The game feels a lot more active.
When all the characters don't feel like cookie cutters of each other.
That too. That's a big deal.
Also, you're always breaking everyone's bones, all of their bones at once.
Yes. Although
it makes Soul Calibur look realistic.
I think somebody needed to sit down their designers and go, okay, I know you like this X-ray move. This is fatal. I don't care who you are. Being stabbed in the back of the head and then stabbed in the eyes is fatal.
Why is this X-ray move more deadly than any of this character's fatalities?
That's not actually the case. All the fatalities are even more brutal. But like when they have the X-ray moves where it's like, this is fatal. Like, not only is this fight ending, this is fatal instantly. Like, I get rule of cool. I understand that. But when my character just shattered somebody's spleen by reaching into them... the fight's over, okay? Broken leg, fight's over.
And then he shoots missiles at him.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's in there, and I don't mind it because, again, it's kind of the rule of cool thing. But one thing that I kind of have to praise it for is their story mode, which, let's be honest, it's Mortal Kombat. It's not the pinnacle of writing here.
I did like their story mode in a lol comics be crazy yo sort of way.
I liked how they did it because they retconned all the old Mortal Kombat lore in this game. But what they did with it is they retconned it in such a way that it was basically like all this happened, but Raiden got visions that all this shit happened, and now he has to try and fix it and change it. So it's like, okay, so you have your old lore there, and so you're not like, you know, throwing things into reverse and just removing everything wholesale.
Aborted timelines. No one likes them.
I've been having a lot of fun with it. I'm not very good at the game. I'll be honest. I'm terrible at it because I'm really bad at fighting games to begin with. But, I mean, I didn't like Mortal Kombat. I'm not a big fan of 2D fighters, and I'm having fun with this one. If for no better reason than I win a fight against somebody and I can then tear them in half for no better reason than I can't.
My recommendation, I think I might have said this when I played Mortal Kombat 9, is you should go to a YouTube video of everyone's fatality in X-ray move and watch that, and that's about as much pleasure as there is to have.
I didn't even know
you
played Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah, my brother was really into it, and I did not like it.
I would like to talk about the actual X-ray move mechanic for a second.
Okay.
Way, way back in a game that nobody played because it was based off of a movie...
Fight Club?
The Fight Club game was the first game to actually implement the X-ray mechanic, but it was a carryover into your next fight. so that if you had suffered a broken arm or a broken wrist.
Oh, so there were like consequences.
Yeah. That's where the X-ray mechanic like came in, and then Mortal Kombat went, yeah, that's kind of cool, but we're not going to penalize anybody for it ever because we're Mortal Kombat.
Well, that reminds me of that that game that was on, I think it was the Brute Force disc.
Yeah, White Lotus. I was actually going to talk about that.
Yeah, because that was the same thing. You could break people's limbs in that as well.
I had a lot of fun with that game, especially since it was like kind of realistic kung fu fighting where you could like swing around a bar and stuff.
But I mean, like, Mortal Kombat is a game of over the top violence. That's kind of the thing. So if you penalize people for doing stuff like that, you kind of lose the feel.
Conversely, shouldn't you reward people for doing that? I mean, really, you do with cool visuals of someone's bones breaking in 27 places and then being shot by missiles. And then thrown into the sun.
Going through the story mode actually reminds me of exactly what we were talking about last week, about how a lot of these fighting games have these really intricate stories, and Mortal Kombat, despite of all the hate that we've given it, is actually one of the games that has a lot of that in it, and going through like all of their initial ones is actually pretty interesting, because that's what the story mode is. It combined a lot of the story
modes. It's the first three Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it's the first three brought back into it. And it's a fine game. I don't know if I agree with all the people who I've seen on Steam saying, this is one of the greatest fighting games ever made. I'm sorry, it's not that good, but it is a good, fun romp.
So, really quick, because I assumed that all Mortal Kombat's made after a certain point were, like, 3D fighters, all a Soul Calibur.
Deadly Alliance and Deception, I think, are the only two that they actually made 2D. Or 3D, sorry.
Really? Okay, yeah. So maybe
9 and 10 are both 2D fighters.
Okay, just using 3D models?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yeah. But, honestly, if I had to actually rate the thing, I would give it an honest 8 out of 10. It's a good, fun game. The mechanics all work. It feels nice and fluid. It feels okay. Shao Kahn is bullshit, but he's a final boss, so he's kind of supposed to be that way. But it's just a genuinely fun game to me. I hate 2D fighters, so that should count for something.
Save yourself some time. Don't watch the movies. However, you really decide that you want to hate yourself and want to watch a shitty kung fu movie, there is a whole series of Tekken ones.
Honestly, if somebody actually went through, you could make a legitimately good movie out of any of these 2D fighters, because they have these intricate storylines built into them. It's like, why? Why can't I experience this? In this Mortal Kombat, goes out of its way to show you this is what's going on in the story, although do have some of those weird intricate. Why did Jax just break Johnny Cage's ribs in a fight over nothing? And why did Johnny Cage just get up and treat it like it was nothing? Like, dude,
he sprayed some antiseptic on it. He's fine.
Your ribs and back is broken. Although, one of the reasons why I actually ended up going out and getting it is because I was watching a lot of the Gaming Sins videos, and they did one on Mortal Kombat 9 and 10. And one of the things that I kept remembering is Raiden's powers seem to be plot dependent.
Oh yeah, totally.
I can't help him. Two scenes ago, you just helped the other guy. I'm sorry, I can't do it. You are a god.
It's because of his aspect,
dude. Ermac is in that game, and Ermac is probably
the blind psychic guy. Right?
No, it's Kenshi.
Okay,
Ermac is this great sorcerer who actually has one of the funniest origin stories ever. Because there was a listing on one of the old Mortal Kombat games for Ermac at the bottom of the screen.
Okay.
But what Ermac was, it wasn't a character, but people always assumed it was this unlockable character, Red Ninja, that you could get. What it actually was error macros. It was something from the programming debug menu.
Because Mortal Kombat is a quality game series.
Oopsie! But that was what was coming out of it. If I remember this right, someone's going to call me out, but there was a Did You Know thing, that's where I learned about it, is that it was actually an error macros thing.
That was actually kind of amusing.
Ended up later on becoming an actual...
Yeah.
Character named Ermac, but...
So speaking of ridiculous fighting game, as I'm assuming you're done with Mortal Kombat-ish.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'd recommend it. If you like 2D fighters, Mortal Kombat 9 is $20 on Steam. 10 is $40 and apparently listed as Abandonware by WB Games. On the PC version, NetherRealm Studios and WB apparently have abandoned it.
Well, yeah, WB likes doing that. They were like, here, have Arkham Knight. Oh, wait, no, never mind.
If it goes on sale, because it apparently... It's functional on Steam. If it goes on sale for like $20, $15, I'll probably pick it up.
Yeah, that's a reasonable price. I was going to say, speaking of ridiculous fighting game franchises, Pokken Tournament?
Yeah, or Persona 4 Arena. That's actually a good game, though. So, Pokken Tournament?
Is it?
Yeah.
Ah, that's actually...
It was made by the people who made Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear and...
What episode? What?
Persona the it's a fighting game. Persona
4 Arena is,
Arena
a, fighting
is a fighting game.
I don't understand how this game could be good. It doesn't make any sense.
Do you not like Guilty Gear?
No, I don't understand how they made a Persona spin-off fighting game and it turned out all right.
Arkworks Studios cares about their quality of their products.
That is true.
Anyway, Pokken, have you been playing Pokken or did you just want to bring it up?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, because I haven't played it.
What have you been playing then, Jeremy?
Persona 4, not Arena.
Persona 4, not Arena.
I've gone from 3 hours to 30. A lot of that has been me leaving it on in the middle of dungeons while I go do something else to take a break.
That's unfortunate.
Not really.
That's time inflation, but who actually pays attention to their time played in any kind of game? Over 500 hours in Payday.
It's not as good as Nerds. Persona 3, yeah. I don't think, but I'm only maybe a third of the way through it, it seems like. And it's still the best game I've played all year.
Well, I guess we're in May now, so...
Yeah.
That's actually a reasonable
Stardew Valley is its only real competition.
Okay.
It's really good. I mean, I feel like everybody knows that already. The characters are pretty cool. They're a little, I don't want to say one-dimensional, but the characters in Persona 3 had lots of overlapping arcs. And the conceit of Persona 4 is that the alternate world, like, when you're in it, parts of your personality you're repressing create a dungeon around you and then, like, take form, and if you deny it, it turns into an evil monster. So it's all these hashtag teen problems that you're helping people resolve, most of which are awkward and sexual because hashtag teen problems.
Lovely.
Like, I watched a bit of the Persona 4 animation.
Ah, I want to watch that when I'm done with the game.
I feel like somehow you describing that to me reminds me a lot of Catherine all of a sudden.
Oh, they're made by the same people. In fact, Vincent cameoed in the PSP version of Persona 4 before Catherine came out because they were developing it at the same time.
Good to know. Wait, so does Atlus actually own the team who made Persona 4 then?
Atlus North America just publishes games. Atlus Japan does develop them. So okay. Atlus publishes a lot of games like Ogre Battle and this Gaia. Odin Sphere that Atlus didn't make.
Yeah.
But they actually do make the Shinten games.
Okay, I did not know that. I always assumed they just published them.
Yeah, so. Me too, but that's not actually the case. They do develop some games.
Huh.
So yeah, the first person you rescue is a girl, and there's no way that the voice actor's direction for her transformation into a monster wasn't just, okay, you're having an orgasm. The second person you rescue is this guy whose parents own a textile shop, and he always wanted to be a seamster, but people made fun of him because that's girly, so he overcompensated and became a gang member. And then he realized he was gay and was like having a... like crisis because people are gonna make way more fun of him for that, and he has one of the best lines where you're like, when you later you go on a, you go hang out with him to increase your power of friendship. You're at a restaurant and he's like, you're like, hey, you could be nice, you could be a better person. He's like, yeah, senpai, I'm going to try for you. He's like, hey, where are my damn noodles? I'm gonna destroy this place if I don't get them. And you're like, hey, dude, what did we just talk about? It's like, oh yeah, well, I'm gonna rip this place down and rebuild it way better. I will renovate your ass unless I get my noodles. Which is amazing. Also, Johnny Young Bosch voices the protagonist and this, like, dumb loudmouth detective, but he just uses the Vash the Stampede, like, silly voice for the detective, so he's immediately endearing and great.
That's pretty good.
And, like, you have a random little sister who just showed up and is like your cousin, but now she's your little sister, and I always wanted a little sister and I miss my real siblings, so that like, hit me right in the feels. And one of the characters is this former pop idol who decided she wanted to retire and has a huge crush on you. So basically it's all of my power fantasies.
You miss your siblings?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I also do. I like my sister.
Persona 4 is great. I do not like it as much as Persona 3, but they objectively fixed a few things, like you can choose not to date girls if you just want to be friends and still get the power of friendship instead of having to date 5 girls at the same time to get the best ending.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think that is. I've also been playing a little bit of Fire Emblem Birthright, but it's boring and sucks. I'm done when I'm done with it.
Hey guys, guess what game I finally finished?
Fire Emblem?
Bravely Default? Failed. 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, no, I was...
Metal Gear.
Yep, Metal Gear. No, I was just baiting.
Grandia 2?
Yes, I finally finished Grandia 2 by deleting it off my computer.
All right. We played Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins this week. The first appearance of Wario. Even though after this, he would get an NES game made about him.
It's better than Waluigi, who only shows up in sports games.
Not anymore. He's in all sorts of things now. But he did first appear in Mario Tennis. So yeah, sequel to Super Mario Land, obviously. Also made by Gunpei Yokoi, the creator of the Game Boy. One of the first Super Mario games not made by Shigeru Miyamoto, and so Nintendo didn't count it for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't count it because it wasn't made by Shigeru Miyamoto?
Yeah.
Well, Super Mario, the first one wasn't, right?
Yeah. These are both Gunpei Yokoi creations. Okay. But this one feels more like a Mario game, I guess.
Yeah.
That one definitely felt weird and off, and I actually kind of really respected it for that. This one feels like they were just like, port Super Mario World, and he was like, are you crazy? And they're like, yeah, get close.
And honestly, he did a pretty good job. So.
It's not too bad on that count.
The game is much more zoomed in than Super Mario Land, which was like your camera was on the moon and Mario was a little dot slowly moving around. Here, he looks pretty much like he does in Super Mario Land, just no color. It's a very detailed sprite. The offshoot is that the camera is way more zoomed in. The level design mostly accounts for that.
Yeah,
it's not nearly as bad as like Castlevania the Adventure. But there are times when you're not really sure what's going to be ahead of you.
I didn't encounter that too badly.
I know it never felt like a problem to me.
It only felt like a problem to me on like the last levels, so.
That is true, and I didn't get as far in this game as you did, so.
We'll talk about the levels in some detail, but for the most part, it's very good level design, which helps get around that problem. So unlike Super Mario Land that had weird enemies like Bomb Koopas and O-Daisies.
O-Daisies.
O-Daisy.
This one goes back to standard Goombas, Koopa Troopas.
You know what's incredibly frustrating?
Although
the Goomba ghosts that you can't actually jump on.
Yeah, I forgot about those because they're only on one level, but yeah. Some boos in this. It pretty much feels like a watered-down Super Mario World, starting with the world map, which is sort of like the one from Super Mario World, except for you can actually choose to do levels in any order. They're not blocked off. Worlds are basically just hubs with about 4 levels each in them, and a few of them are sort of semi-hidden, but you can tackle them any way you want. Your progress is never really blocked.
Although
you can't beat the level itself, but that's a player issue, not a game issue.
Yeah, so that does bring up kind of like a Mega Man-style problem where some, like, Mega Man X, arguably all the levels are pretty well balanced compared to each other. I would argue that this game, the levels are not equally difficult.
That's definitely true. The ones on the right side are a little harder than the ones on the left. And
damn it! That's the direction I went.
Yep.
Yeah, you did, like, probably the 2 hardest levels.
But that leads into a bit of a problem where you don't really feel like you're progressing necessarily, or, like,
yeah, you get a coin after each world that, like, goes in the door, and that's kind of cool.
It's a reasonable animation with some music and stuff.
Two things unlike Mega Man. One, you don't unlock new cool power-ups, so there's not much advantage to tackling the worlds in any specific order except doing the easy ones to grind lives.
You've just got 3 power-ups. You've got a carrot that lets you able to basically
it gives you fly. Bunny ears, and it's like flapping your raccoon tail in Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. You can't and you run and then take off, but other than that, it's...
You get a fireball, basic and Mario power-up, and
in order to visually distinguish it, you instead wear a feather on the front of your cap instead of turning red or something,
and
because
then
it's Game Boy.
Last one is a star.
Yeah, which has different music, because Gunpei Yokoi made it.
I actually like the star music in this a lot. It
and
feels
it doesn't
really
run away from you.
That's true.
Yeah, it just pops out and sits there. And I like the start music in this because it feels really frantic. Like, oh man, I got to make the best use of this. And the tempo increases and stuff, and it gets higher and higher pitch.
I did notice when I had the fireball power-up, if I got to 3 projectiles on screen, one enemy and then two of my fireballs, or even multiple enemies on screen and one projectile, did start to slow down a bit.
Yeah, and sometimes it would even flicker if you got too much on there.
I never actually had a flicker, but I did get slowed down occasionally.
I don't think I hit a flicker, but I did have a couple of slowdowns.
It's not Mega Man 3
It wasn't
3
Mega Man
bad.
3 levels of it, but it was noticeable.
The other thing that makes this game not like Mega Man is when you lose all your lives, you lose all your progress in the game and have to hard reset from the beginning.
Which they kind of offset by giving you a lot of lives. Like
there are
any
a
Mario
lot
game.
Of opportunities to get lives in this.
Speaking of which, every time you beat a level the right way, ring a bell.
Yeah, like Super Mario Land, where you could get up to like a higher platform, or like getting to the top of the flag in the most Mario games. If you ring a little bell that's near the level exit, but up high, you get to play a little, basically, claw mini game for a power-up or lives. Also, you don't get a live every 100 coins in this game. Instead, your coins bank up to $9.99, and you can spend them in a slot machine. And the more you spend at once, the more lives you can get. I spent 500 and got a 20 up at the slot machine.
The thing that does turn over every 100, though, is every 100 enemies you kill, you get a star, which is interesting.
I didn't know that one.
It's like right next to the coins, there's the current number of enemies, and that resets every 100.
I believe it only counts if you kill them with fireballs, though.
Does it? Okay, I didn't keep pay much attention to
that. The thing that little saddening is, even if you have the bunny ears or the fireball, if you get just a normal mushroom and you pick it up, you'll actually lose your other power-up.
I have an additional problem with picking up power-ups, because even if you pick up the power-up that you already are or have an equivalent level, like if you switch from carrot to fire flower, it actually plays an animation of you like getting bigger, and it like always freaked me out. I'm like, did I just lose my power-up? But no, you didn't, but they didn't skip the animation, I guess, if you were just transferring levels.
So, first thing I want to talk about is the tone of this game being a little different, which is, I think, because Miyamoto wasn't making it. In particular, it's sort of taking the piss out of Mario a little bit. Like, instead of, like, his house that he lives in like, Paper Mario and Mario RPG, he has a castle that Wario stole with a whole bunch of money in it, and he has a statue of himself that he's built.
It's kind of awesome, actually.
It kind of is, yeah.
Well,
it's like Mario lives in Mario Disneyland that he made himself.
There's a giant robotic Mario that he can go explore.
Well, I mean, he's got to be pretty wealthy because of all those coins he keeps picking up when he goes to kick crap out of Bowser and save Peach again.
Exactly. I actually really like the feel of this, or I guess the aesthetic of this game.
Maybe we had that relationship all wrong. Maybe it's not Peach who's hiring Bowser to kidnap her. It's Mario paying Bowser to kidnap her so that he can go make money off of all the scattered coins that get left behind.
Well, that's why Bowser keeps coming back, is like they agree that he's going to be the fall guy, so...
So is Mario splitting his take with Bowser?
It's all a work. It's all a work.
That would explain why they're always spending time go-karting and playing... tennis with one another.
Yeah, exactly. There's no actual animosity. They just have a good professional
relationship. Have you seen
what
Bowser does in Mario Party 10?
No.
Have you not seen the Mario Party 10 Bowser mode?
Oh,
which is just Bowser.
That's right. No, I blocked 10 from my memory because it was such a bad game. So
I want to talk about the level design a bit because it's really good. It's probably the thing that stands out most about this game. We talked about the level that's a giant Mario statue. You're like inside it the entire time and you are basically jumping on gears such.
It actually felt very toy box to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's got like some clockwork-ish elements, but...
Well, like one of the enemies is a jack-in-the-box.
Yeah. But like, what are mechanical enemies? Well, I guess these have gears. I don't know. I would have liked some like more robots or something. Like what lives inside a giant Mario statue? Apparently jack-in-the-boxes.
Apparently missile-shooting pigs.
Oh yeah, clearly. Which also I think appear on the moon.
Yeah, pigs definitely appear on the moon. I guess that's we can go to Space Zone, which is the only level that's kind of hidden. You need to go to like this hippo level and get the secret exit from it to enter Space World. Also, the gravity is different, which makes the Mario game feel pretty different. There's one level where you can basically moon jump, and your jump is slower but much higher. And one level where there just is no gravity, so you can just
fly
through.
You just jump repeatedly.
The boss of that level is the boss of Super Mario Land 1, Topanga. Only you're not in a cool rocket ship fighting him, you just jump on him.
And there's like, he's not introduced any differently than any of the other bosses, and then you just kill him and move on.
There's Tree Zone, which is one of the easiest, probably one of the lamest zones. It just feels like a Mario level. You're going up a tree. Turtle Zone, which is a underwater level, although it starts with you being eaten by a turtle, which is kind of cool.
Fun. There's also like a submarine portion of it that's not entirely underwater. There's also an island.
I was going to do that level, and then immediately saw that there was underwater-looking bits, and I went, nope, not doing this right now.
It's some of the best water levels in a Mario game. Not that that says much, but it was not nearly as bad as I feared. Then there's Pumpkin Zone, which is kind of this horror movie zone. You're fighting like Jason-dressed Goombas with hockey masks.
I beat that
knives.
One.
I didn't even get to that one.
And last but not least, Macro Zone, which is kind of like the giant world in Super Mario Bros. 3, where you're real tiny. And although it's mostly like you're in ant colonies and, you know, kind of household places, it's kind of Alice in Wonderland-y. Each level has a boss. They're kind of standard Mario boss fare. You want to jump on them three times. They're all well-themed. The Pumpkin Zone one is a witch. The Turtle Zone one is... I can't remember.
I can't remember that one.
The
either.
Mario Zone one is three
pigs,
little piggies.
Which is not great theming.
Tree Zone is a bird?
Yeah.
You know what would be great? is if the Mario Zone boss was a mascot dressed up Mario, Luigi, and Peach.
That would be pretty funny.
I was going to say, like, Robo Mario would be fun, but the biggest problem with the bosses, honestly, is that even though they, like, move differently and stuff, they don't feel very different.
No.
It's you jump on them and win.
So once you beat the six worlds and get the six golden coins, you can go into Mario's castle.
Well, I was going to go back one step, and actually, I'm not sure if they're useful, but every world has a secret level, and I'm not sure what
the purpose
is. I never found
any, and I was kind of looking for secrets.
I think it's in Tree Zone. There's, like, the goo cave. I don't know, it's like a cave full of goo that you can jump up and down. But, like, at the end of the goo cave, there's, like, a port, like a tube you can go down and unlocks a secret level to the right, or, like, a star zone. There's a secret level that you can go through by, like, finding some hidden coin blocks and jumping over, and it causes a star to crash into the moon's head, and then you just, like, I just went and did the level, and nothing happened after I did the level. Maybe you have to do all of them or something.
Once you beat all of the bosses and get the six golden coins, you can enter Mario's castle, which has been taken over by Wario. And what did you guys think about the difficulty of this game? Because I found it pretty easy.
Yeah, I only did Mario Zone and Pumpkin Zone, and I'm not particularly good at 2D platformers. I found it to be fairly easy. I got all the way through Mario Zone, I just didn't beat the boss, and I beat Pumpkin Zone.
Those are probably the two hardest zones.
And I only died a couple times, one of which I died on the Mario level because I stepped off of one of the, like, claw arms that you have to ride, which I didn't like a couple of those. On the Mario Zone especially, there's a couple of moments, actually there's quite a few moments where the progress is stand on the thing until the thing gets you to where you're supposed to go, and there's not really a threat to prevent you from just standing on the thing.
Yeah, that is cool in, like, a, hey, look at this cool way to traverse things, but it's not particularly engaging or fun. I agree.
And it's not something that you want to do that often. It's fun to have every once in a while, but when your, like, entire level revolves around just standing on the thing, it's kind of boring.
I asked about the difficulty because Wario's Castle is hard. It's not like Mario ROM hacks hard, but you need real precision jumps. There's a lot of, like, difficult platforming challenges Mario typically doesn't do, like really low ceilings that require an exact jump.
Yeah, in fact, they kind of discourage ever having to do that.
I had 46 lives going into Wario's Castle, and I game overed.
Oh, wow.
Before getting the checkpoint.
So, mechanic I completely forgot about. You get the spin jump from Super Mario World.
It's kind of useless.
It is.
That's why you forgot about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's hard to do because you jump and press down, which isn't supernatural.
But thought I'd mention it because it's there. Yeah,
Mario's Castle is just a huge difficulty spike. I do like the way Wario works as a boss because basically you have to fight him and then you have to fight him with the Fire Flower. And then you fight him and he has the bunny ears and can fly around. So it's kind of cool to see him as, like, an anti-Mario. But I just think the castle is kind of too hard after a game that's too easy. And it left a kind of a sour taste in my mouth on this game.
It's a difficulty cliff problem that we've mentioned in the past on other games, where the game doesn't have a curve too much as you just, you're going all right, and then you just smash into that cliff, and it's like, hell did this come from?
Function. I feel like it's hard as a developer to know what's going to be a cliff, but I really feel like you can figure that out during playtesting.
Well, and again, if we look at Mega Man, which lets you choose all the levels and then has a, like, super hard final zone that lets you test all the things.
Yeah, so that works because it just combines elements that you've encountered before and said, okay, here's a unique way that all the things you've seen in the game so far come together in a final culminating moment. And that works. In this, like, I don't know that it, like, combines any elements.
All six zones are cool, but they're all too easy. And then Mario's Castle is kind of boring and super hard. And I don't know. This game just felt very bland to me. You guys said you like the aesthetic. And I actually prefer Super Mario Lands. It's super weird and different. That's but right. it had an impact on me.
Like, the overworld map, I guess, is really what did it for me, is it feels really weird, I guess. And, like, the like, pig cannon enemies are bizarre, and, like, there's, like, the porcupine inflaty guys.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like Super Mario Land 1 had that better, and it also had, like, the submarine and jet levels that made things mechanically mixed up, and...
Okay, that's true.
But we're not quite ranking yet. I think I've said my piece on this. You guys have any final thoughts on Super Mario Land 2?
I don't know. I was pleasantly surprised with it, but...
Wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to end up being because of the first one, but I still wouldn't recommend it.
Okay, then. At our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, we have a list of all the video games we've played from best to worst. Chrono Trigger's the best around. It went Super Saiyan because Akira Toriyama drew it. Golden Axe sucks. It's got like axes or something. You lose them, and then
and
you
they aren't
about
even
it.
Golden.
Yeah, there is no Golden Axe in Golden Axe.
In the middle is Tony Hawk. I don't like it, but that's where we put it. So I want to start this off by comparing it to its predecessor, Super Mario Land. I think I've made my argument for why I like Super Mario Land more pretty well. This game is a little longer and gives you a little more freedom of level choice, and the graphics is prettier, but...
Technical also, glitches with the slowdowns, but I think 2 is actually going to be better than its prequel.
So I also think it's mechanically more sound. Like, I had a problem in Super Mario Land where everything felt, like, off. But the precision controls from Super Mario World kind of translated into this fairly well. And I think, if nothing else, that puts it above its predecessor.
So the next Mario game on the list is The Lost Levels. How do we think it compares to that?
I think favorably.
I think it's better than Lost Levels, but that's because I really, really, really did not like Lost Levels.
Okay, again, I disagree with both of you, but I am outvoted.
Well, I mean, you can make a case.
This game seemed lacking. And I've said it for 1,000 times, I far prefer a really challenging game to a really easy one.
Okay.
It was challenging enough for me, so like I still had fun for the challenge aspect of it, too.
It didn't seem any easier than most Mario games to me.
Huh. It seems so much easier to me. But the next Mario game on the list is Super Mario RPG. It doesn't make any sense to compare there. How do we think it compares to the original Super Mario Brothers?
I think disfavorably.
It's not as good as that one.
Agreed. It looks prettier, but that's about it. Actually, no, I skipped Super Mario Brothers 2 because I didn't see it. How do we think it compares to the Doki Doki Panic Super Mario Brothers 2?
I think also disfavorably because if nothing else, if we're comparing them on weirdness scale, I think Doki Doki Panic might have it beat. But there's so much more variety in Super Mario Brothers 2 that I don't know. I don't think that most Game Boy games could hold a candle to it.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, so let's find something in the middle. How do we think it compares to Kirby Superstar?
Definitely disfavorably. But yeah. Then again, I am kind of a Kirby fanboy.
I can't remember that one. I don't think I played that one now that I think about it.
Yeah, you did.
Kirby Superstar? Yeah, it's the one on the Super Nintendo.
That's the one where, like, you have a partner that you like. You're like, oh, have life,
okay.
Child.
That was also the one where I was like, I didn't realize that the four things are actually different game modes. Yeah, I would say this one's probably disfavorably to that one.
Is that if we're saying two easy games, at least Kirby has a lot of variety and it's colorful?
Yep, definitely agree. How about Castlevania 3? I like Castlevania 3 more. Again, I like a hard game. I like the different characters in it.
I think Castlevania is probably a bit better put together than this one is. And yeah. I'm not even a big fan of it.
Well, I was trying to formulate an argument in favor of Castlevania, but I mean, you guys have already beaten me to it, so I think that's unanimous.
How do we think it compares to Kid Icarus?
Huh. I would rather play this game than Kid Icarus.
Kid Icarus has those RPG elements that I actually find really interesting. Again,
I spent too much time.
I prefer hard games to easy games.
Part of the problem is that Kid Icarus took too long to get around to get to the interesting parts. On the other hand, arguably Super Mario Land 2 doesn't have interesting parts.
I mean, it's all visually interesting, but none of it is very gameplay interesting.
Yeah. I think personally I would have to give it to Kid Icarus, especially since I actually beat that game when we're way back when considering doing like a live stream for charity.
Yeah, me too. Okay, what about Bonk's Adventure?
I think Bonk's is a bit better than this.
I think Bonk's has more personality.
Yeah,
it's got a certain level of charm to it that I really, really appreciate in a game.
I mean, what other kind of badass climbs by chewing his way up things?
Okay, what about Sonic CD?
You're going to have to refresh my memory. It's the most recent one.
Yeah,
played,
with
right?
The time travel and...
vast open worlds that have absolutely nothing in them.
I don't... like, they're both really easy, which I think was their biggest downfall.
They both get really hard at the end. In an unfun way. Sonic CD has better music and looks nicer. But it's also not a Game Boy game and came out 2 years later on a CD.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I think I'd have to give it to Sonic. Only slightly.
I think I'd prefer to play Mario because there's more stuff going on in each given level, whereas in Sonic, you've got these wide levels with nothing in them.
Yeah, there is a density problem.
It's going to make it so hard to compare to the next thing, but I think I agree with Zach. I'm going to say I think it's a little better than Sonic CD. So how does it compare to Secret of Mana?
Honestly, I think I'd have to take Secret of Mana. I think there's more to do in that game.
I don't want to play either one, but if I had to, I would play Secret of Mana.
Yeah, at least there's, like, an end point, and it's kind of interesting, even if the gameplay is repetitive and tedious.
don't have to make a decision. I'm already outvoted no matter what I decide.
Well, and Zach, you can't contribute to this. Our last decision is Super Mario Land 2 worse or better than Final Fantasy? Yes. Your facial expression, which the listeners cannot see, is exactly correct, Tyler.
Okay, so I had to make a frowny face at this because I have fond memories of Final Fantasy, and then I remembered actually playing it. And it, like, was
very different experience,
yeah,
isn't it?
It was an almost traumatic flashback. It actually wasn't that bad, Final Fantasy. It was a
I want to like Final Fantasy.
Honestly, I think I'd have to give it to Final Fantasy at the end of the day, if only because there is more going on, and arguably it was more ambitious.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. So Super Mario Land 2 will go below Final Fantasy and above Sonic CD at number 75.
That puts it above Tony Hawk.
All right, that is yet another episode down, guys. Lots of Nintendo lately. So, Zach, you hate Nintendo. What are we going to play next
week?
I
do. Well, I don't hate Nintendo. I hate most of Nintendo's flagship properties. It's not the same as hating Nintendo.
But Metroid.
I hate it. So, I think this time around, we're going to go with something different. Okay. Wave Race 64.
Wait. I don't think that's as different as you want it to be.
Jet skis. Yeah. We live on the coast of... At one point or another, we probably live on a coast, but...
We live on the coast of the mountains.
Exactly!
All right, next time on Last Time, N64 launch titles. Not as good as we remember. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2016. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. Past episodes and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review. Podcast over. You have to go to the start screen and load your last save again. I mean, really, you do with cool visuals of someone's bones breaking in 27 places and then being shot by missiles and then thrown into the sun and then thrown through the moon and thrown into the ninth sphere of hell where Lucifer freezes them to death and then kicks them to heaven where God spikes them for a point in volleyball.
Well, and then you have to deflect their next punch because they're not done yet.